What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Our conversation last segment with Ben Baby, who covers the Bengals for ESPN on the Team 980, is and was presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, joining us right now is our Washington Commanders insider on this show, all season long and all off season long and all training camp long, Ben Standing. Ben Standing writes now, with Substack. He's got a Substack column. He's doing a great job with it so far. You should subscribe. Just go to at Ben Standing on X on Twitter to get a link to it. To find out more. So, last week, you did say you had a hunch Brian Robinson Jr. would not be on the roster week one. I gave you all the credit you deserve. Whether it happens or not, at this point, I consider it to be a victory, even if he is on the week one roster. The hunch was observational. It wasn't based on a lot of information. I think those are even better when you get those right. So what do you think happens here? Do you think there will be any interest? Do you think they'll deal him?
Well, you know, obviously the potential compensation for NFL trades is always weird. You know, like it's weird to say they trade a starter for like a seventh round pick or something. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it's kind of how these things go, especially he's on an expiring deal. So, yeah, I mean, look, there are teams out there obviously that need running backs. You know, Dallas is among them, and, you know, they traded Jahan Dotson to Philly, so I won't rule the possibility of a deal there out. Then you have, you know, the Bears could probably use another, like, a bigger back, and Eric Bieniemy is the RB coach there. If you look at Tennessee, Randy Jordan's the running backs coach there, and they've got an injury in the backfield. So, you know, there are some teams that are out there that could potentially show some interest. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think my guess is whether they can find a trade or not would be that he's not on the team. But, that's the part that's hard to know, is what are teams willing to give up, and is Adam Peters willing to, you know, just say, here, sure, take him, or he wants to hold out for more. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it certainly continues to move in that direction.
So why are they at this point where they are willing to deal him?
Yeah, so, you know, when I was sort of trying to – when I've been thinking about this for a long time now, I'm going back to the spring, I just kind of kept coming back to that they were looking for more explosive plays out of the backfield. And, you know, if Austin Ekeler is going to be around, then he's, you know, half of that essentially, you know, combination. So where are you getting more explosive plays? They bring in Deebo Samuel, and he'll come out of the backfield, but that's like, you know, 3 to 5 touches a game. And, you know, it just always, to me, just came back to Brian Robinson. He's a totally fine running back. If it was just generic Team X and you said pick one of these running backs, he might be the guy you would pick, because you know what you're getting: power back, good in short yardage. I think he's a better pass catcher than some may think, but, you know, he only had like 25 targets last year in this offense. And at the end of the day, when he's on the field, I just don't think you disguising what's happening. Either it's going to be a run or he's not going to be really involved. And I think the point for any of these coaches, but I think for Cliff Kingsbury in particular, is to not have the defense know what is going to happen. You know, Austin Ekeler gives you that three down ability because he's got, you know, enough, you know, size to run, you know, inside if he has to. Obviously, we know he can catch the ball and make some plays on the perimeter. And I think they want more of that. And then you look at a guy like, you know, Bill Kroski-Merritt, again, it's small sample size, but he does look like he has those abilities. We've seen the one cut burst up the field. He looked comfortable catching a pass in the first preseason game, and then didn't just catch it. He caught it and then, you know, juked a guy, or, you know, got around a guy to get extra yards. And I just kept coming back to, can they, like, it's not, like I said, it's so, this is more about fit than it is the individual talent if this all goes down. So that's among the reasons why I think it makes sense. Again, he's entering the final year of his deal. If he actually were to get cut, there's basically almost no dead cap charge. And, you know, they do have other guys. I you know, not saying that Chris Rodriguez is as good as Brian Robinson, but I don't know how significant the gap might be. He's always looked pretty good. And, you know, Kroski, Merritt, Eckler, McNichols, you know, Debo a little bit. Like, it's going to be sort of running back by committee would be my guess if they officially do move on from Robinson. But I think from a fit perspective, that may be better for what they want to do.
That's interesting, because I think last week you can correct me if I'm wrong, you were adamant that this was going to be mostly because of Kroski Merritt, that he looked the part. And I feel like today, because my answer was, look, I think they probably think that, you know, between Kroski Merritt and Rodriguez and McNichols and Debo being used, that, you know, by committee is still better or equal to or better than Brian Robinson Jr. And they aren't going to have him next year, so why not try to move him and save, you know, $3.4 million in cash, you know, outlay this year for his contract. Has your opinion as to why changed slightly?
No. I mean, I think Kroski Merritt is obviously a huge reason for this because, I mean, like I said, in order to let's just say Brian Robinson's on the team and Kroski Merritt, how are you getting Kroski Merritt in the game? Well, you have to sit Brian Robinson. If you're sitting Brian Robinson, then what is he doing? Then what is he doing for you? Kroski Merritt gives you, you know, again, he has to go out there and do it. But what we have seen, he gives you more opportunities to call kind of whatever you want. So because of his talent, I mean, he's looked very, very good. He is still a seventh round rookie. So that's my only, if there's any hesitation, it's just that, you know, we just haven't seen a ton. But I think we also can realistically say, you know, he doesn't have the weird eligibility issue last year in college, and he plays, he's probably getting picked closer to like the fifth round. And now all of a sudden we're not looking at it the same way as it would be the seventh rounder. So, you know, he's really good. I just, in my head, I'm just looking at it like, I think Eckler would still be, you know, highly involved. And if Chris Rodriguez is on the roster, you would imagine that he might be the guy they turn to in some short yardage spot. So I think it's, again, probably more committee than saying, hey, you know, rookie, go be the true bell cow. But he has that potential from what we have seen. I mean, I'm very high on him, have been since really almost like the first time I kind of laid eyes on him here. He was bigger than I thought, and you could see the natural you know, ability again to burst, get up the field quickly. So yeah, all those factors are reasons why I think it makes sense for them to move on, or why they think they might make sense. I'm just saying that, you know, it would be to me sort of unrealistic to just say, hey, you haven't played much, but go ahead and be that guy day one. I just think he would be part of the group with Eckler and all that, but I don't know that they make this move if Kroski Merritt has not shown as much as he had.
I went back and did the math. Like, between Jalen Lane and Medrano in the draft, there were 9 running backs selected. So before they got to Medrano. All right. So I'm, you know, the backs were guys hold on, where are they? Jordan James, Jaden Blue, DJ Giddens, Ollie Gordon, Devin Neal, Khalil Mullings, Taj Brooks, all selected before Medrano got picked. I wonder if any of those backs were on the list. Like, I thought they were going to take a back night 2 or day 3, or early day 3, because I thought they wanted to replace Brian Robinson Jr. Do you remember back to, you know, the guys that you thought they might have interest in? Wasn't Devin Neal on the list?
I think he mentioned a couple. Devin Neal, I think Taj Brooks, and maybe that was partly because he was a Texas Tech guy, and we know that Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn are. But you know, he was, as I recall, like a little bit of like an older guy, had some experience. You know, sort of like a McNichols type, but a rookie. I think Devin Neal, Ollie Gordon, I want to say, was also another name that I wrote about. And you know, in my various mock drafts, I typically was having a running back go somewhere. Probably higher than that. I mean, look, I was down if they took Travion Henderson in the first round. So I totally was all about them getting another a running back based on what it was that it seemed like they were looking to add. So, but look, they didn't add a defensive end either. We all believe that was the number one pick. So, you know, they had a lot. It was a weird deal. They're coming off the NFC Championship game appearance, and yet almost any position outside of like quarterback or maybe, you know, one or two others was a logical thing that they could take, and nobody would be like, oh, well, that's crazy. So, yeah, they didn't ultimately take a running back. Look, if they had never even drafted Kroski-Mare and they just had what they had, you know, okay, Robinson, Eckler, McNichols, you know, maybe, you know, again, Rodriguez or Chris Kazmir Allen makes it, I don't know. Okay, I don't think anybody's going, well, that's an amazing group, but it's like, hey, it's totally competent, it's totally fine. We saw this work a year ago, but I think they're looking to get a bit more out of that group.
Yep. So I made the comment earlier, I'm curious as to whether or not you agree or disagree. Kroski-Mare's had this, you know, shoulder. Even if he's ready to go, if they like him as much as some people think they like him, and I think that, you know, you kind of suggested they've got some options, even if they move on from Brian Robinson Jr. via trade or release. If they really like him, he shouldn't play tonight, right? You don't need to see him anymore if they already know.
Yeah, so I think tonight is actually interesting on a lot of fronts. So, you know, as I
go
said,
ahead,
I've
list
been,
them.
Well, I've been trying to piece this together for a while, and you know, he gets hurt. Kroski-Mare gets hurt in the Patriots game. Okay, but when he comes back, he says he's fine. No, but he told reporters after the game he was fine. He could play all that. Then a few days later, they do the inter-squad scrimmage, and some guys didn't dress because they weren't going to participate. He did dress and then didn't participate, so they kept him out because of the shoulder. And they're like, okay, is he actually hurt, or are they just, you know, being cautious? And then the last practice here before the Bengals game, he's wearing a black non-contact jersey. So I asked Dan Quinn, what's with that? And he said, oh, he's fine. It was just me being overly cautious. So I'm like, okay, so this is not twice you're being overly cautious with a seventh-round running back. That's not normally how these things work.
Right.
So it said that they were, you know, trying to put him in bubble wrap as best they can. So I guess you could make the argument that he shouldn't play based on that, but I do think – you know, just like with all these guys, at some point you do need to play a bit more. I mean, I guess in his case, well, here's the thing, right? If he's being viewed as a high rotation guy, he's not going to play next week. So just like all the other starters, he plays this week. You would obviously, if the doctors say, hey, don't risk it, then obviously don't. But if what they're saying is true, that it's just they've just been very cautious, then I think him playing makes sense. What's interesting to me is what do you do with Brian Robinson? If in fact
him not playing makes sense, you meant.
No, Kroski-Mare. I'm saying I think it does. Look, Jaden's out there. As long as they say he's fine to play, then I think he should play. I mean, the starting quarterback's going to be out there, so why wouldn't he be out there? But I think what's interesting is with Brian Robinson. You know, last year, Jahan Dotson got on my radar as a guy who could get traded because he played a lot more snaps in the preseason opener than the other players. I don't know if they were showcasing him or what, but that's what they were doing. You know, they don't need to showcase Brian Robinson. Everybody kind of knows what he is. So do you play him? Do you not? If you don't play him because you don't want to risk injury, well, now you're just showing your cards completely. But on the other hand, you know, you don't want to play him, and then, you know, him getting hurt would be bad if you're actually looking to move on from him. So, or Eric potentially could be bad. So I think that one's kind of interesting to see, you know, what they do.
Agreed.
There. Yeah.
What else for tonight?
Beyond that, well, look, I think the receiver situation is going to be pretty fascinating. You know, all the receivers are going to play. I think what'll be notable, you know, obviously Debo Samuel has been looking really good, but you know, do they stay with the Luke McCaffrey, Chris Moore, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne group sort of at the top, or do they mix in a Ja'Cory Brooks, a Tay Martin, both of those guys I felt got a little more run with the ones late this past week. If that's the case, then maybe that's a sign that, you know, the staff is looking at these younger guys as potentially filling in at the end of the depth chart. But again, we don't quite know when Noah Brown's coming back. So, you know, can any of those veteran receivers step up? I think that's obviously a big question. They have not done much. At least in this time, Jaden Daniels will be out there, right? Assuming that these guys are playing with him, he'll be out there. He'll be making plays. It's not just, you know, where he's sort of standing around and in practice. You know, he'll actually be on the move and on the run. So that should open things up for these guys, even if they're struggling themselves to get open. And then I think the real fun matchup is going to be presumably Marshawn Lattimore, Trey Amos, and Mikey Sandrasil against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins with Joe Burrow at quarterback. You're not going to get a, you know, better test than that. And, you know, the Bengals played their guys last week. This has been a change for them because they've typically not gone hard in preseason and start slow every year. So it sounds like they are going to, I don't know how long they plan to keep those guys out there, but, you know, this is a real matchup. And to see Lattimore in particular go up against, you know, whether it's Chase or Higgins, two of the better receivers in the league after what we saw last year in the playoffs where he had a rough time against Mike Evans and A.J. Brown, you know, confidence could go up here or, you know, have a lot more questions if, you know, he gets beaten. Ja'Marr Chase obviously torched these guys last year when they played up in Cincinnati.
All right. Talking to Ben, of course, Max, did you play the Cliff sound coming into this segment on Terry?
I did not. Let's hear it.
Let's play this. This was Cliff Kingsbury the other day on the absence of Terry McLaurin.
And then with Terry, what kind of things can you do now even to help make sure that when he gets back out in the field, that there's not this long transition period to get that rhythm and connection back with Jaden?
Yeah, with him or just kind of overall?
With Terry in particular.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a ton of contact with him. You know, he's been here, but he's been working with the trainers. So until he gets back on the grass, that's when we'll start building that back up.
What can you do at that point to make sure it doesn't take a long time?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of those deals. There's just time on task. And luckily they had last year to build a lot of rapport and chemistry. And Terry understands our system going into a year or two. So that should expedite the process. But to me, it's time on task together on the grass is really the only way that you can continue to build.
All right. That was Kingsbury the other day. What did you hear in that answer?
I heard, hey, I came back to this team because I think we have a really good chance to succeed, but we need some people back on the field. How am I supposed to run an offense when we're missing our best receiver, our other starting outside receiver, and two offensive linemen? I mean, Terry is a unique one because the other ones are all injuries. But yeah, I mean, I think they need him back. I think it's like, I know a lot of people were equating him being taken off the PUP list and Dan Quinn saying that he's probably going to start practicing soon with them as a sign of a contract getting done soon. I think that's a completely wrong way to look at it. It is everybody being logical that if Terry is going to play this year, he needs to get going. He can't just wait until the last day, you know, sign a contract 3 days before the game and then get play. You got to get moving. And
or
you know,
just start practicing 3 days before the first game under the current contract, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to give yourself some lag time. And we've talked about this. To me, this was the bigger, like, obviously the contract is the bigger story, but the immediate story is, hey, when does he have to start practicing? So, if this is accurate, he's going to start up next week. I think that's a good sign just in terms of the logic of this. But beyond that, we'll have to see. I mean, my sense has been they're still stuck the way they have been, throughout. I don't know if Terry would ultimately say, the heck with it, I'll just play out this contract. I don't know if whatever they're offering to him, he says, all right, fine, it's not getting me the money I was looking for, but it's still, you know, plenty good or what have you. So that's the part that I still don't know. I think most of us don't know, but again, I think him going back to practice, assuming that happens next week, is a very positive sign just in terms of, like, if it gets done, you know, that he'd be, you know, close to ready to go as possible.
Yeah, I mean, if he chooses to go out and start, you know, practicing on grass, as Cliff Kingsbury mentioned. Big difference on grass versus, you know, walkthroughs, et cetera. Then the question then becomes, okay, he's going to be ready physically and otherwise for the opener against the Giants. Does he play that game with a new contract? Does he play that game without a new contract? Or does he, at that point, decide to hold out of a game? So those are the three options, because trade's certainly not an option. So, you know, taking the update of where we both are on a daily basis, it seems like, over the last many weeks, where are you today?
I think kind of where I've been the last, you know, while. Like, you know, it doesn't seem like this should be that complicated based on how we all sort of look at, I think we all, how we assess the player, how we assess the market, how we assess how these things tend to work. But if the team has a very different opinion of what, you know, how much money they would like to pay him, and I do think it is important to note, you know, you are paying for what's to come. You're not paying for past production. And, you know, if their numbers and models and everything else suggest that receivers at this age, when he turns 30, it's going to start to fall off potentially, then you don't want to you know, put in a lot of money to somebody if you think it's not going to be worth it in a couple of years. And that's where they have to, you know, these, the two sides have got to figure these things out. You know, what's so funny, I was thinking about this the other day, is all this talk about Terry being 30, they are the oldest team in the league. Terry, like, you know, they keep signing guys who are way older than Terry to be on the team. Of course, these guys are only signing like 1 year deals.
They're not being asked to pay $75 million guaranteed and $33 million a year.
No, 100%. I'm just saying, it's just funny that, like, it's not like they're shying away from older guys. And that's,
right.
I think that's going to lead to a whole different question going into next season. But
sure.
I don't know, man. I guess I still believe something will get done. It's just, the longer this goes, I just don't know how much either side is going to be willing to compromise. Because if they haven't gotten there by now, I don't know what's going to have to happen for that to occur. I guess I'm almost feeling like the play out the contract is starting to feel like maybe that's the way this is going to go. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, Adam Schefter early this morning kind of said what you said, and that is that, you know, Terry being activated off the PUP list doesn't mean much as it relates to the contract. It's still status quo. They're not close. TM Terry McLaurin still wants something north of DK Metcalf. Washington thinks he's worth much less than that. The standoff continues. I'll go with where I've been, which is I still think that Terry will end up giving in a big way. He'd be insane not to take the guaranteed money that they are offering, that they don't have to offer, you know, roughly, let's just say, call it $50 million in guaranteed, because I don't know that that opportunity will ever exist for him again in this league. And that is, you know, a pretty sizable bird in hand. So I'm going to stick with, I still think that a deal will get done before the opener, and I think it'll be because Terry ends up giving, and maybe they make it look like a $30 million average or something like that, or maybe they get to 30 and he comes down from where he is, and it's kind of a win-win or a lose-lose, however you want to look at it. But I'm still predicting that. It's just, Ben, at the end of the day, there's too much from Terry's side. Unless they are so delusional and so hurt, he won't get this opportunity again, more likely than not. $50 million in the bank versus what? Maybe a franchise tag next year for half that? Not half that, but, you know, three-fifths of that? This is the last and best opportunity for him to get that kind of guaranteed money.
Yeah. This is why this has been sort of hard to figure out. What is the holdup? It doesn't seem like whatever the gap in value, and obviously, you know, any negotiation, as we've all deal with in life, you know, there's going to be the buyer and the seller are going to have different views, but it shouldn't be so ginormous that you can't get to a middle ground. And it does feel, the more time goes on, you know, again, Adam Peters wasn't negotiating contracts in San Francisco, but the 49ers were known as a team that was looking to win these battles. It wasn't just, you know, let's meet in the middle. Like, no, this is what we think, and we're going to go this way. And it seems as if that's what Peters is doing, for better or for worse. And, you know, eventually it does seem like Terry's going to have to make a call as to what he wants to do. I mean, you're totally right in terms of the total money. If he does play out the season and they do tag him next year, right, then he's getting, I think the tag is at least $28 million. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe
it's like higher, it's like 44 to 45 versus maybe 50 plus. So, yes, it's true, but he's not going to get 50 today. That's a pay-as-you-go.
Yeah, no, and also he could, you know, there's a world where he doesn't have a good year or he gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, and then all of a sudden his value takes a hit. So, yeah, like I said, it's just bizarre to me that it has gone on for this long. And I do think that, you know, whenever there's an autopsy done of this, regardless of what transpires, it will be interesting to see did Washington, you know, win the battle, lose the war type deal. Like, you know, fine, maybe they get Terry for the value that they think is appropriate all the way. But, you know, it's now been a pretty public situation. The other guys in the locker room, to whatever degree that matters, are seeing this. And if you're not going to pay this guy, as we've discussed, and, you know, who are you going to pay? So that to me will be interesting. Is, do we learn more about what actually was going on in the negotiation? How hardline was Peters truly? And what does that mean about, you know, this place going forward?
Yeah, I think when and if an autopsy is done, one of the things, and I talked about this on my last show last week on Thursday, I think they think the war is different. You know, I think they believe that, you know, by offering him this deal, it is an acknowledgement of how important he is and what a great guy he is and how important he is to the culture of the team, because a lot of teams wouldn't even consider necessarily offering what they're offering with him under contract and with the flexibility of a franchise tag going into his age 31 season. That's my guess, is that they view it as, we don't have to do this, but we are doing it because we like the player. A lot. All right. You said something I just want to be clear on. You said two offensive linemen. Cosme and Coleman are the two you're talking about that are banged up. You're not talking about Tunsil, right?
Correct. I mean, I think Tunsil is...
Yes.
You know, I think he just... You know, he's at a point of his career where he's, I think, always going to be a bit banged up. But no, yeah, I'm talking about Coleman. And obviously, right, Cosme's out, but, you know.
So defensively, who are we going to see tonight and who aren't we going to see? Because I think this is going to be, look, no game planning, all of that said, but we'll get some mano-a-mano matchups. I just had Ben Baby on from Cincinnati. He said their offensive line is a bit in shambles. So I'll take that into consideration in terms of the D-line's performance. But to see Lattimore matched up against Higgins and or Chase or both for the first time in his career, Amos, you know, those are the things that I'm looking forward to watching. So who are we going to see out there and who aren't we going to see out there?
Well, I think one thing that was impressive about this team last year was, sure, they played some bad teams and they murdered those bad teams. They didn't just like squeak it out. They stomped on them for the most part. Okay, so the Bengals offensive line, Washington, yeah. You know, so if the Bengals offensive line is beat up, then yeah, well, you know, for the most part. But you know, if their offensive line is beat up, then let's see Daron Payne and Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, Javon Kinlaw, all those guys, take advantage of it. Again, in the scrimmage the other day, they were the group that really controlled the game because Washington's first-team offensive line was a bit in shambles. Von Miller's out today and Bobby Wagner's out. The Wagner one's pretty interesting because this will also be, the first real test to see how the run defense looks now that they've got all these, you know, bigger guys in there. But not to have Wagner in there and then no Jordan McGee either means, you know, Duke Riley, who just got here last week, or Kane Medrano, the sixth round rookie, playing in Wagner's spot. That's not necessarily ideal, and that's kind of where the running backs get funneled into. But nonetheless, this is a good spot for this defensive line. Again, I think the depth looks good. They've raised the floor accordingly. The upside is the question mark, and you know, again, for whatever whatever you get out of a couple series in preseason, I think to me that that's the group I want to see. If they're giving up, I mean, Chase Brown's very good as a running back, and obviously Joe Burrow is tremendous. So giving up yards to the Bengals is not a an insult. But let's see them be formidable. Let's see them hold up at the line in ways we didn't always last year. I mean, again, even when in this matchup, the Bengals got yards all over the place, and just Washington just got more.
We'll talk tomorrow. Thanks.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Our Team 980 training camp coverage is brought to you nationally by GEICO. Switch and save. Get more with GEICO. When we come back, Dan Quinn had a lot to say about Terry being activated off the PUP list the other day. You'll hear some of that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. When you get there, just hit the subscribe button and hit the like button.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And I know you guys saw earlier today the announcement regarding Terry off of PUP. So that's good news, and that'll begin like the return to play process for him. And really, it's similar to like what a lot of those guys that I just spoke about and where they're at on their returns and doing walkthroughs and begin other parts of it. That's the Colemans and Mariotas and McGee's and into that same space. So just into that same trajectory. And so we've got a real process in our return to play that we believe in. We know it works, and we'll hit all those steps as well. So wanted to hit you up on that, and then we can get rolling with the game and everything ready for it.
Yeah, well, there would be more questions about Terry coming off the PUP list, and you'll hear a lot of what Dan Quinn said about that. This summer, by the way, your air conditioning, God, was it hot and steamy yesterday. Your AC's been working overtime to keep your house cool and comfortable. Are you ready to change that? How about replacing your older windows with custom-built, high-quality windows from Window Nation? Window Nation measures 3 times to ensure your windows fit perfectly and keep your home comfortable year-round. Their installation crews finish the job in a day or less, so you enjoy the rest of the summer with minimal disruption. Get the windows you want to protect and beautify your home. Choose from over 1,500 styles and colors. And with installation crews' super experience, they average over a decade of experience, you can trust Window Nation to install your windows right the first time. Window Nation offers a lifetime warranty on all their windows, so you can relax knowing your home is protected far into the future. Right now, their most popular offer of the year, 50% off on all window styles with nothing owed until the year 2027 for 2 years. No money down, no payments, no interest for 2 full years. I trust Window Nation. They've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You've got a 96% customer satisfaction rating with Window Nation and over 45,000 five-star reviews for a company that's installed over 3 million windows across the country. Call them now for your fast, free home estimate at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. You know, before I play for you the rest of some of what Quinn said, I wanted to emphasize something that I talked about on Thursday's show that a lot of you reacted to. And I just sort of mentioned it with Ben when Ben said, you know, the issue when the autopsy is done is, did they win the battle, lose the war? Their feeling about what this is about, I think, is much different than everyone else's or a lot of people. They feel like they're doing something they don't have to do, and yet they're doing it anyway. And that is based on the analytics of the position, wide receiver, age, what happens age 31 and older. Offering Terry, just say, something in the neighborhood of $50 million guaranteed is acknowledgement about how they feel about him, the person, the player, the culture setter, etc. Because they don't have to do it. And a lot of teams would have been in position to either, or if they were in the same position, wouldn't have done it, or would have offered somewhere in that, you know, early range of what Jeremy Fowler had talked about, you know, when he first talked about the $23 million for someone his age. You just don't have a lot of precedent of a receiver getting the kind of deal that, you know, fans would even want the team to pay. Because I think most people are like, yeah, if Terry asks for $35 million plus, which was the Charles Robinson information from last week, that I have a feeling was probably pretty close, even if they were willing to step back to the DK Metcalf deal, $33 million and $60 guaranteed. I think, you know, jaws dropped, as Charles Robinson said, to say, wait a minute, we're coming to you to offer you a contract extension, something we don't have to do, and quite honestly, probably shouldn't do, because we have you under contract and then have the flexibility in what may be your last super productive year. Now, we can argue as to whether or not Terry's only got 2 years left. That's, you know, based on whether or not you're into the heavy wide receiver age analytics like the team apparently is. But I think that their view is just different than most others. They would love to get a deal done with Terry, but they just aren't going to come anywhere near, certainly where his first or even second, you know, kind of level, ask was. They just think that that would be a massive overpayment. It would also be a terrible precedent to set for the team with big contracts coming up in the offseason. And, you know, while they, you know, I mentioned they like the player and this is why they're doing it, I think they also realize what the player is. You know, the player's a really good player. He's not a great player. He's not somebody who, with less wear and tear at 30, because he's so dominant that you're just going to make a very special case for and meet his demands. It's not where they are. And yet, I think from their perspective, they wish people understood, but it's not their job, and they're not going to go out and succumb to fan or media pressure. But I guess there is a disconnect for them, because they feel like they're doing the right thing by just offering him a contract extension in an area in which, you know, very few teams would do it. Now, very few teams have him. Very few teams are in the window that Washington's in. I don't think that they would say, we don't need him. I don't think they would say that. I bet they would say they don't need him as much as some others out there would say they need him. But they would certainly feel like they need him. But they also kind of feel like, hey, this is something we don't need to do, but we are doing it anyway. They're just completely delusional as to what the value is for him in this moment. And we can't go there. Here was some other Dan Quinn from Saturday. He was asked about Terry and working out. Here's what he said.
Yeah, that's all part of the PUP of, like, returning to play. Yeah, he's on the same trajectory as everybody else of doing the workouts and making good strides. So that was why the move was made.
So will they get him on the field? He was asked about how important it is to get Terry reps.
Yeah, I think more often you just kind of follow the guidelines of how things are going, and then you're ready for the next step. And so he's really just putting into the same group of, although the other guys started training camp, they got injured, but now they're able to participate in the walkthroughs and that. So that's also part of the return to play, of getting back with the guys where you can do that. Like, the PUP is really focused on rehab. And then once you're leaving that, think of it like, all right, I'm shifting the focus from rehab into returning to play. And I think if you could differentiate those, like for you and for the readers, that helps. You know, like, okay, there's a shift that's beginning to take place.
So that shift, let's just make sure that we all remember this. The shift started on August 16th. Okay. So it's 22 days. It's more than 3 weeks before the season opener. He is healthy. He's off the PUP list. The PUP list was more rehab. Now he's ready to ramp up to playing. 22 days is plenty of time to ramp up to play. Remember, during the regular season, when you come off that PUP list, it's 21 days to activate. So more time than that. This was him, the head coach, Dan Quinn, talking about, you know, Saturday and Terry's, you know, day one of the ramp up process.
Yeah, like yesterday had a big push on some days. So there's some days that you go really, you know, as high as you can, then other days it's low and even like recovery work to go. So, for instance, you know, two other players had high days today and off tomorrow, and then that'll even continue into Monday, into the game. So it's a little bit by day, Nikki. I think, you know, it was two or three at a peak high and then backed off today, and then you go again. So, like, all these markers we're trying to hit, and you can't go, like, redline it every day. So you want to make sure, all right, on the days that we're really pushing it, that you really go there. And then the days that you work strength and recovery pieces, then you do that too.
So you heard Ben, what he said, that, you know, coming off the PUP list has really nothing to do with, you know, the current state of negotiations. Adam Schefter reiterated that this morning, saying it's still status quo. They're nowhere close to a deal, despite Terry coming off the PUP list. This is what Quinn said when he was asked if returning from the PUP has any impact on the contract negotiations.
No, I would say, yeah, from the medical side, contract, like, definitely separate. This is about his getting ready to play, which is, you know, like, honestly awesome. And, you know, like, it's just cool, you know, to see him, you know, getting closer, because now you know, like, okay, steps are getting closer to return to being on the field. So he's worked hard, and just like the other guys have, they want to get back out there with the teammates and doing things. So I get that. But we just have a real process. We're not going to miss the steps and put them out there before guys are ready to do their thing in all the different locations. So that's where we're at.
A little bit more of DQ on Terry McLaurin. This was, you know, was Terry involved in timing, you know, the timing of bringing him back, and then what's next for him?
Doesn't mean you're back practicing and doing all that just yet, but it does mean, like, you know, steps are going forward.
Okay, so that was eight that you just played, right?
Yeah, that was the rest of eight.
Okay, that was the rest of eight. All right, let's go to the one where he was asked about whether or not it's number nine, whether or not this puts Terry on a path to be back for week one against the Giants.
Yeah, there's markers to hit, but it gives you a runway to be able to do that. And if you can continue to hit, you know, the D-cells, the different ones for him, and all of those guys are in the same boat right now. And there'll be more, you know, into Monday and Tuesday and then a few days after that. So you just kind of, if you can reach that one, then I go for the next one, and I go for the next one. But if you don't go to this third one if you ain't hit number two yet.
Yeah, so I guess one of the things, and I don't know that this was followed up on, and maybe it's assumed. So they take him off the PUP list. You hear Quinn talking about the ramp-up process, which eventually includes him being on the field. You know, as Cliff Kingsbury said, he's got to be on the grass. He's got to take reps. Will Terry take those reps? He's not going to play tonight, all right? And then they don't have a practice tomorrow. Then they do have a practice on Wednesday, but that'll be the last one before the Ravens game on Saturday night, because there's no team joint workout with the Ravens. That got canceled last week. So if Terry is now a hold-in and he is healthy as a hold-in, not on the PUP list, and he doesn't want to go out and take reps, then I guess they can start to find him again. We'll see. Yeah, so that's basically it from Quinn. He was asked, and you can go to DQ14, Max, would Terry play in the preseason finale against the Ravens on Saturday night?
It would be hard at that spot based on where we're, you know, how quick the turnaround is, Nikki, from Monday to Saturday. Let's get back playing, then we'll have a better sense for that. So I wouldn't rule anything out, but I think that'd probably be a little quicker than we should.
Yeah, it would be quicker, and he wouldn't be out there with Jaden Daniels, more likely than not. So we're not going to see Terry in the preseason. So there you go. The latest from over the weekend on Terry McLaurin. When we come back, you know, that NFL players top 100 list has continued. Some interesting spots for a few players. The last Washington player, if you recall, was Terry McLaurin at 52. Jaden has not hit the list yet, which means he is nearing being a top 25 player per the other players around the league. We'll get to some of that and what Caleb Williams did last night for the Bears when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, here's what's happening on this Monday, August 18th. Per Jordan Schultz, the Washington Commanders are listing two offers on Brian Robinson Jr. This news comes after a groundswell of preseason support for 7th-round pick Jacory Bill Kroski-Merritt and veteran Jeremy McNichols. Plus, Cliff Kingsbury also said that prior to this weekend, he likes the running back room a lot and thinks that every guy has a place in this league. To baseball, after being DFA'd by the Washington Nationals, Nathaniel Lowe is hammering out a deal with the Boston Red Sox. The 30-year-old finds a new home prior to the playoff push, and the Red Sox get an answer to their season-long questions at first base. The Nats, they fall to the Phillies by a score of 11-9. Not a great day for Mitch Parker after giving up 6 runs in 1 2/3 innings, but the Nats were able to tie it at 6 in the third inning, get Aaron Nola off the bump, but the Phillies able to pull it away and close it out to knot the series at 2 games apiece. Plus, after months of trying to hammer out a deal, the Cincinnati Bengals are reportedly listening to trade calls on Trey Hendrickson, according to the reports. Teams that have inquired are the Panthers, Browns, and Colts. Plus, the Commanders will take on the Cincinnati Bengals tonight. Dan Quinn says he is excited to get the boys going and looking to get a few series out of JD5 and the starters. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. That'll be at 8 p.m. on ESPN. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app. Type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Denton's office throughout football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right. Well, a little bit of a weird ending to the show, but we had some technical difficulties. So Chris Russell is coming up next. I got him right here. Hey, Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, Mad Max. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I heard you had some interesting things happen over this weekend.
Well, interesting is one way to put it. Alarming and perplexing and disillusioned and costly. Yes, that is one way to put it. But, you know, we put our lives back together. We're human beings. We're not perfect. Things don't always go the way you want, Max. And
it's true.
You know, you just kind of try and persevere.
Yeah, well, that's how we do it. All righty, Chris Russell coming up next on here on the Team 980. Kevin will be back tomorrow. Chris, up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.